As he wraps up 10 years at the helm of Simon Fraser University, Andrew Petter says universities are more important now than ever. In a post-COVID environment, Petter says universities have a vitally important role to play in scientific research, in addressing workplace dislocation, and with the retraining of talented people who will play a role in restarting and shifting the economy. Petter says that the role of the university is paramount in addressing diversity, equality, inclusion, and innovation in a greener economy. COVID-19, he says, has exposed inequalities in society and in the workplace. Petter says many of the people who work on the front lines have been hit hard. He says now there is an opportunity to use education right across the spectrum to support people who wish to retrain and upskill, and in doing so, provide them with greater opportunities that can help to level the playing field. We invited Andrew Petter to join us for a conversation that matters about his term as president of Simon Fraser University, how it has changed and grown during that time, and his thoughts about the future of university education.
Conversations That Matter is a partner program of the Center for Dialogue at Simon Fraser University. The production of this program is made possible thanks to the following and viewers like you. Please become a patron at conversationsthatmatter.tv.
Andrew Petter, welcome back. It's been about 5 years since you were last here, and that was at about the midway point in your term as president of SFU. You're wrapping up now. I don't want this just to be a let's take a trip down memory lane. But when I talked to you last, we were talking about the relevance of universities in a internet world, a hyper-connected world. And you told me now more than ever, we need universities. And I think even more so now than then. Do you still see that as being an accurate statement?
Well, first of all, it's great to be back. Thank you very much. And secondly, I think if anyone doubted the need for universities, COVID-19 has kind of shown how important universities are on the research side, certainly. We and other universities are doing a lot in both doing some of the modeling, for example, around COVID-19, but also some of the research around testing and how we can equip society to deal with the consequences of it. But I would also say that with some of the real dislocation that is taking place in the workplace, people losing jobs that may not come back, we're going to need to really harness the value of education in order to make sure that we capture the value of those people whose jobs are missing, but who have the potential to contribute to a major economic renewal and maybe a shift in that renewal to a greener economy and a more equitable economy would be my hope anyways. But education, whatever the vision is, will play a central role in that economic recovery.
Well, I was reading some of your notes from your presentation to the Greater Vancouver Board of Trade where you were talking about this is an opportunity for us to actually help reskill a workforce that may have found what they were doing before out of step with our needs going forward. And this can be an important role that universities can play working in conjunction with governments that are saying, yeah, we need to work with our citizens to make sure that they have the tools that they need to succeed.
Yeah, I think there is a real opportunity. I mean, one thing COVID-19 has also disclosed is some pretty serious inequalities in society. And a lot of the people who are working on the front lines are in lower wage categories. And most of the people who've been displaced are people, women are hugely hit, young people, vulnerable minorities have been really hurt in terms of jobs that have gone missing and may not come back. So there's an opportunity here to harness education, advanced education, right across the spectrum from technical training to trades training through to university degrees, to really harness that education capacity to retrain and upskill those people, to give them much better opportunity to try to level the playing field a bit in terms of social equality. And if we want to really put a focus on creating a greener economy by equipping those people to fill jobs in a new economy, which will take advantage of new technologies and new opportunities to do things differently.
Well, Simon Fraser University has played a fundamental role there, a foundational role maybe, and you've been recognized as being one of the leading universities in focusing in on sustainability. Why was this such an important part of your mandate?
Well, I've always believed that universities, in addition to very important core functions about educating students and conducting research, are engines for social progress in a much broader way. And that there's an opportunity to view universities as institutions that can really contribute to social betterment by using all of their levers, as social enterprises really, using all of their levers, not only their educational and research capacities, but also our land, our human capital within the university. We have some amazing people with great ideas, both on the administrative and faculty side, and in using some of our financial resources. And I think at SFU, we've really tried to show how that can be done. And there's been a general shift, I'm happy to say, within this country and worldwide towards looking at universities not just as insular citadels, as they might have been seen in the past, the old ivory tower model, but as engines for social development. So much so that the rating you're talking about, Times Higher Education, which has been probably the leading global ranking service, traditionally looking at a narrow band of academic issues to rate universities, decided about 3 years ago that they better start measuring universities in terms of the impact they have on communities. And they use the UN Sustainable Development Goals, which look at social, economic, and environmental impacts. And they did a rating. They started last year. We looked at it. We didn't participate last year because we wanted to make sure that we thought it was a fair and credible rating system. It was. It attracted 766 institutions worldwide this year. We did participate, and I'm very proud of the fact that we finished in the top 20 amongst all institutions for our impact. And we finished in the top 10 in four categories. So we finished ninth in terms of our impact on climate action. And we finished first in the world, as you've referenced, in our impact on sustainable cities and communities. And that's a wonderful validation, a bit of sunshine through the COVID-19 clouds that suggests that not only are we as an institution making a difference, but the whole mindset around the role of universities and the capacity of universities to be harnessed as engines for social development is starting to shift worldwide.
So this is in some ways a vindication, not vindication, that's not the right word.
Validation.
Validation, thank you very much. It was a V word. Validation of the strategy that you implemented fairly early, I think it was 2012, to become an engaged university, that you were not going to be that citadel on the hill. You were going to be actively involved in the community.
Yeah, but to be fair, Stu, I came to SFU because I saw it already as an institution that had that kind of energy. And I wanted to be part of it, and I wanted to help the institution to capture it in a more strategic framework. But it was the university was originally put on top of a mountain, but SFU has never taken direction from anyone. And the decision 30 years ago to come down from the mountain to downtown Vancouver, the decision more than 15 years ago to take on what was previously thought to be TechBC and take it on as a third campus out in Surrey. The decision to develop a community on top of the mountain. You couldn't take the campus down to the community. My predecessors decided to bring the community up to the mountain. And then we had great faculty doing programs in the community like Semester in Dialogue. We have co-op programs that are very extensive across the university. We have researchers who've been out there trying to make a difference. I said, wow, this is a university that is doing so many things that that exemplify engagement and contribution, but it didn't seem as self-aware or as strategically focused on that dimension. And I wanted to come as a president and see if there was an opportunity to take those elements and build them into a strategic vision, which became the Engaged University. And happily, it has resonated not only within the university, but it's also, I think, been noticed not only within this community, but across Canada, and thanks to Times Higher Education, now around the world.
Which is, as you say, validating that this has been an appropriate strategy, especially as we move into a world that is changing so dramatically. I think one of the things that has come about as a result of the response to COVID-19, which has forced people to in many ways, change the location of their work environment to being at home and having this online interconnection. You at SFU were ahead of the curve and ready for it from the moment that it hit. What was the process that you went through to make sure that there was very few disruptions in service and the delivery of programs to students?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't say there were few disruptions, but
okay, from the outside it looked pretty good.
Well, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Though don't get me wrong, it was amazing, and huge credit to our faculty and staff and our students for their resilience, their responsiveness. I mean, we went from an in-person educational institution, about 90% in-person, to 100% virtual remote teaching in the space of a week.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was the best form of remote delivery, and I think it's going to get a lot better because we're continuing through the summer and into the fall. I think, in fact, it's going to get a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that our faculty and staff were able to shift that quickly, the fact that our students were able to respond, because learning remotely isn't only a challenge for teachers or for faculty members, it's also a challenge for students.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that our student support people stepped up. I mean, things like providing students with support in technology or buying equipment for those who didn't have adequate equipment to study online. All of that happened in an amazing period of time. And I think it was helped by the fact that we have this philosophy within the university around engagement and around being a nimble university. And maybe even more impressive is the university community didn't stop at just shifting internally, but suddenly a whole bunch of parts of the university started looking outward, as befits an engaged university. And whether it's our research enterprise, which has been extensive right across a whole range of issues relating to COVID-19, or our programs like SFU Public Square or the Center for Dialogue, providing information, programming to connect the community, or faculty members and staff members who just want to contribute in a myriad of different ways. So we started a program called SFU Can, COVID Action Now. But we started it not because it was the university's idea that faculty followed, but because faculty and staff and students had an idea and we followed and said, let's actually give this a name and connect those people and their energy. And they're doing amazing things. So, yeah, I think our commitment as an engaged university, our outward-looking nature, has helped not only to mobilize us within the university, but also in terms of our contribution at this very challenging time for the communities we serve.
So there are a couple of different ways to go from this point. One is, does this give you the ability to expand the reach of SFU because you can now accommodate so many people who don't have to physically be on campus? And then how does that contribute towards your commitment to the environment?
Well, I'm always looking for silver linings. I mean,
yes.
I don't want to pretend that COVID-19 is anything but a huge challenge and has been hugely disruptive, very stressful for everyone, and continues to be. But there are some silver linings. And one is that I and others, faculty members, students, are learning a whole bunch of technologies we weren't familiar with before, a whole way of doing things. I don't believe that those technologies will displace in-person teaching. I think the in-person experience at a university, both within the classroom but also socially, is a very important part of development for students. And I don't think it'll go away. But I think the technology can really help to improve that in-person experience. It can take some of the large lecture halls and the transfer of knowledge, this whole sort of sage on the stage kind of teaching, and transfer it into a virtual format where students can learn at their own time and get the knowledge. And then the time they spend in person can be much more usefully employed in critical thinking, in challenging, in group work, in working in communities. So I think that we'll see there are opportunities for real enhancement in the educational experience. I think the connections that have been made externally with communities through COVID-19 will also be helpful, both to the communities, but also to some of our researchers and faculty members. I think the fact that governments have suddenly seen the value that universities can bring and have provided us with research funding, hopefully that will provide a broader recognition of just how important we can be in challenging other issues. If we can, as a community, come together in this way around COVID-19, there's a few other challenges out there that could merit similar attention, whether it's inequality or the opioid crisis, or of course the existential threat of climate change.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can harness some of that energy and see how universities can contribute there as we have here, I think the future, not only for SFU, but for other universities, can be bright. And the appreciation of the work we do in the community can be that much greater.
One question, of course, students and their families are going to be asking right at the moment, what's going to happen come the fall semester?
Yeah.
Are we going to see some hybrid of what we've had right now plus in class, or are we going to return to pre-COVID days where everybody was heading up to the campus?
Well, we've decided, and our provost has announced that in the fall, the predominant form of teaching will continue to be remote. There's always the risk of a second wave. We don't want to go through the kind of jarring experience we had before. And it's going to take some real effort to get back into a classroom environment, particularly if we have to observe all the requirements regarding social distancing and testing and the like.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're doing is we're saying, we're for those kinds of classes where you can't achieve the educational goals or objectives in any other way, we are open to allowing in-person, provided it can be done safely. So things like lab courses, or some lab courses, not all, some can be done online. Things like certain kinds of graduate seminar experiences. Things like field courses, or courses that have extensive field work. May be very difficult to try to achieve what you want students to learn in a virtual environment. And so there, we'll focus on those kind of courses, but it's going to be a minority of courses. For the vast majority of courses, we'll continue to deliver online in the fall, assess the situation in the spring, but no one will be happier than me, and I know than our faculty, when we can get back to predominantly in-person teaching. Having said that, SFU has always delivered online courses. We've been a leader in online education. About 10% of our courses are online. And interestingly, I think they were originally proposed or developed with an audience that we thought would be largely people who were far flung. But many of the students who come to the university choose to take online courses as a part of the mix of educational experiences they have. So online learning, while challenging in some circumstances and challenging for faculty members who aren't familiar, is a form of teaching that we're well familiar with. And our Center for Educational Excellence is doing a remarkable job of supporting not only faculty, but coming up with programs to help students understand how they can learn in this new way.
What stands out for you in your term as president?
Well, you know, it's as I said earlier, I came to the university because I had a sense of its energy. I did test that out. It wasn't just made up in my mind. I spent the first year as president going around the university and making sure that sense was authentic, that it could be real for the university. For me, more than anything, it's the sense of community around the university, the shared sense of commitment to be that engaged university that has been really inspiring, and to see it amongst faculty, amongst staff, amongst students, and to see how motivating it's been. But I would say this as well. One thing I'm really proud of, because not everyone at the university wants to be out there in the front lines in the community. There are serious researchers whose research is very focused on the lab or in the library and is fundamental and is more theoretical. I'm proud of the fact that as much as we have extended our reach into communities, we haven't in any way taken a hit in terms of our academic or research strength. We continue to be ranked by Maclean's as the leading comprehensive university in Canada. Our research income has grown faster than any other university in the country and as a percentage. And so what I really believe is that this focus on engagement hasn't only been good for the communities we serve, it's also been good for the university. Our students are getting a much better educational experience by virtue of not only being in the classroom, but gaining knowledge in the workplace or mm-hmm. in the community. Our researchers are getting huge opportunities to gain new knowledge with Indigenous communities or in the downtown East Side, wherever they may be working, and huge validation for their research they wouldn't have gotten in other ways. And I think our whole staff is feeling a sense that the university is serving a much larger purpose. So this is a win-win as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we're able to move in this direction without sacrificing those core values around educational quality or research is for me very important.
Well, it's been quite an extraordinary time. And now you pass the baton. The future, I think, looks bright, doesn't it?
Well, I pass the baton to just a remarkable woman, our Vice President of Research and International, Joy Johnson. She came to SFU about 5.5 years ago. At the time, I said, well, you're taking on research. We're an engaged university. We really need an institution-wide plan around innovation, which is really code word for taking our research and putting it to work in communities for economic, social, and environmental benefit. Within a year and a half, she had developed a institution-wide innovation plan called SFU Innovates. Mm-hmm. We've seen wonderful programs proliferate. Our SFU Venture Labs in downtown Vancouver is the leading business accelerator in terms of job creation and capital formation. We have an institution-wide student incubator. We have research that is taking place in areas like health and a new program in sustainable energy engineering, which is going to make a big difference in terms of this province's leadership in clean tech and sustainable solutions. And Joy deserves a huge amount of credit for a lot of that. She's going to be a great leader for the institution. I'm sure she'll sweep away all the mistakes I've made. She'll bring a lot of her own ideas, but she'll continue the path that we're on in terms of really building the strength of the university as an engaged university in her own way.
Well, and then that comes back to a point that you made to me like 5 years ago about what is the economic value of a university? And it is immense. All those, you know, different programs and innovations and developments that you just listed off all in the long run generate economic activity.
Yeah, they do. Social benefit, economic benefit. I think an environmental future that is more sustainable depends upon both education and research. And I like to think that by showing our capacity to act in this way, we have been successful in garnering more support from philanthropists, but also from governments. I think governments have looked at SFU and are looking at other universities that are treading a similar path as a value proposition, because not only do we train the students very well and equip them for great futures, not only do we perform traditional research, but we add value to the community in a way that means their dollars and their investments go that much further.
Well, congratulations on a successful term as president of the university, and I wish you all the best going forward. Thanks for coming in and doing this.
Well, thanks for the opportunity, Stu. I'm still going to be a professor at SFU, so I'm going to be very interested in its future. My heart's with the institution. That won't change. So while I will not get in the way of my successor as president, I'll still be a very interested and contributing player.
Well, thank you.